Welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Yesterday, New York Magazine published an article that quickly went viral. It's entitled, Experts Urge Clinton Campaign to Challenge Election Results in Three Swing States. One of the swing states mentioned is Michigan, and one of the computer scientists cited is J. Alex Halderman, the director of the University of Michigan Center for Computer Security and Society. The article says Halderman and some others believe there could be evidence that results in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania may have been, here's a quote, manipulated or hacked. Fred Woodhams from the Secretary of State's office is back with us. Fred, here we are, 2 weeks after the election, talking to you again about election fraud. The New York Magazine article had some misinformation in it, according to U of M Professor Halderman. He issued a follow-up that was published on Medium.com, hoping to clear up some of the confusion. But what do you make of all of this?
Well, I am a little confused with it. I think the initial story in the magazine seemed to imply that there's different types of voting systems used in Michigan. There are not. We exclusively use optical scan paper ballot systems. So every voter in Michigan marked a paper ballot. That didn't come across very clearly, unfortunately, in some of the original coverage. And as I read through that Medium.com post from the professor, he, at least as how I read it, is that there were no allegations of hacking or fraud. He seems to just be raising concerns down the road. I think in the past he's advocated for certain policy changes nationwide and continues to do that. Certainly that's his right, but as far as we're concerned here in Michigan, there's no suggestion or allegation that there were any hacks or any attempts to that. And, you know, overall, we were very pleased with how Election Day went. It was very smooth overall across the state. And, of course, we do have a very close election here for president here in the state of Michigan, but it doesn't affect whether or not Trump will be president or not. He has enough Electoral College votes with or without Michigan.
One thing that Professor Halderman, who, by the way, declined an interview request, but put in his post, a hack is unlikely, but he does point to some vulnerabilities, including he says even if voting machines aren't connected to the internet, a poll worker could infect the precinct computers with malware directly. How possible does this seem to you?
We think that that is incredibly unlikely. It's important to keep in mind that there's about 9,000 voting jurisdictions across the United States. A full sixth of them, about 1,500, are here in Michigan. We have 4,800 precincts. So elections are run at the local level. They're run by the local clerk's office in people's city or township. So this is a very decentralized system that we have here in Michigan. We have about 30,000 election workers on Election Day. So it is not realistic in the real world. Some things to keep in mind is that all of the tabulators used on Election Day are tested extensively prior to Election Day to ensure that they're recording the votes cast correctly. Then the machines are secured by the local clerk's office. They do use memory cards. Those memory cards are sealed into the tabulators with a numbered seal. That seal is then recorded by the clerk's office to ensure that if there was any tampering, it would be readily apparent when you're going and looking at it and getting that tabulator moved to each precinct. So it's just simply not realistic.
Fred, if a campaign wanted a recount, what would that cost?
The cost to Clinton in particular would be $25 per precinct, so that's about $120,000 statewide. They don't have to request a full statewide recount. They could select individual precincts, so that cost would be less. Now, when people put a deposit for a recount down, if the result is changed, then that money is refunded to the candidate. Candidates have 2 days after final certification, and the Board of State Canvassers is scheduled to meet on Monday. So if one of the losing presidential candidates wished to seek a recount, they would have to do so by Wednesday.
By Wednesday. Just curious, as I'm thinking about that paper ballot I filled out, what happens to those ballots once the election is certified?
They are stored and maintained, and, you know, here's something that people might be interested in. You know, you can FOIA the ballot, so if people want to look over the ballots cast in Michigan, they have that avenue to do so. They don't need to seek a recount. It wouldn't have any repercussions, but if people think that, you know, they just want to review the ballots themselves in certain precincts or what have you, they have that opportunity.
How long do you keep them?
I don't know that offhand, but they are kept for a significant amount of time after an election.
I'm sure it's a sizable storage area. Fred Woodhams, yeah, with the Michigan Secretary of State. Fred, thanks for speaking with us today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on.
listening to Stateside, I'm Cynthia Canty. Donald Trump has chosen Amway heiress Betsy DeVos as his Secretary of Education. She's a staunch advocate for charter schools, for vouchers, and she's a leading GOP donor. We turn now to Ken Sikkema of Public Sector Consultants and, of course, former GOP State Senate Majority Leader. Ken, Betsy DeVos is Education Secretary. Were you surprised by this choice?
Not totally. It's certainly a bold choice. It indicates, I think, that President-elect Trump has a willingness to break the mold on conventional thinking when it comes to Education Secretary. Betsy has a very definite point of view on education in terms of charter and choice, but I think Trump shares that view, and so no, I'm not totally surprised.
Now, looking at recent education secretaries, speaking of breaking the mold, we have had a former governor, we've had the CEO of the Chicago Public Schools, a former college dean and school superintendent, we've had people with doctorates in education. What can you tell us about her credentials and her qualifications?
Well, she's been an activist in the field of education for many, many years. You know, I think it's probably a weakness in her resume that she doesn't have experience, you know, running a big district or, you know, professional experience per se in education. But once again, I see it as kind of a willingness on the part of Trump to kind of go beyond conventional thinking. I think that she has this view on charter and choice, but you know, she doesn't support choice for the sake of choice or vouchers for the sake of vouchers. It's kind of based on a belief that some established schools have become so stagnant over time that the only way you can provide an opportunity for every child is through choice and charters. And that's really what drives her. I've known Betsy for a long time. She was chairman of the Kent County Republican Party when I first ran for state representative 30 years ago. She was state party chair when I was in the legislature, I believe when I was in the state Senate. So I know that what really drives her views on education is this desire to have an opportunity for every child. It's not a ideological commitment to choice just for the sake of choice.
And based on those many, many years of knowing her, tell us a little more, Ken. What is she like?
Well, she's thoughtful. She's smart. She studies the issues. She is not a superficial person by any stretch of the imagination. She's going to approach the management of that department and education issues in a very thoughtful, careful, deep kind of manner and kind of way. So she's extremely educated and knowledgeable about these issues of education. I think it's a good choice, but it is a bold choice. It's not a conventional choice.
And, of course, the National Education, the NEA, jumped right out with a statement basically saying, and I read a little bit of it, Betsy DeVos has consistently worked against their values of all students having a great public school in their community. So what kind of reception do you think she's going to get on Capitol Hill?
Well, Republicans control the House and the Senate, so she's going to get she's going to be welcomed with open arms because they share many of her views and many of her values. And her value is that every child. What drives Betsy? Because I've talked with her about this over many years, and not always agreed with her, but I have talked to her about this, and that is what drives her in the field of education. Is the desire that every child, no matter what circumstances they may be in, deserves a quality education. That's really what drives her. And she believes that opening up education to choice and opportunity and charters is how you achieve that.
Do public school proponents have reason to be afraid?
No, I don't think so at all. I think if you're a public school advocate, you know, you want every public school to be a quality school. And they're going to share that view with Betsy DeVos.
I guess we'll be seeing a lot of debate as this comes out and goes through. But as you say, with the Republican-controlled Senate, you can count that will go through. Although there is some complaining from conservatives about her ties to the political establishment.
Well, you're not going to ever find for any cabinet position or high-level government position, you're never going to have the sort of perfect choice that pleases everybody. The president's obligation, I think, to himself, really, is to pick somebody who shares his views and values and promote that person. And I think that's what Trump has done here. And that's Trump's obligation to himself.
Ken Sikkema, Public Sector Consultants. Thank you, Ken, for spending time with us on Stateside today.
Okay. Thanks, Cynthia.
We will analyze the DeVos appointment and what it means for education in Michigan and the country next week on Stateside. Up next.
You know, one woman talked about she had had a previous baby die right after birth, and she really felt like if she had not had Medicaid, like state health insurance, if she had had private insurance, that they would have treated her and her baby differently, and her baby might have lived.
A look at how we do maternity care in this country. Stay with us. You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio.